Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Palm Sunday 2019. This is an exciting day in the life of the church here. It's an exciting day in the life of Trinity Lutheran Church. And so to the confirmands and to friends and family and to Trinity members that are gathered here today, grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In your bulletin, somewhere hidden in there, is an outline of the sermon. If you take that out, that'll help you to track with the points I want to make. And just so you guys know this, parents of the confirmands, I have offered them a bribe of a special treat for them this week in class. If all of the confirmands today come back to class with the outline filled out, okay? So we have a certain relationship here. All right. Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we use slang terms for all kinds of things in the English language, don't we? It lends itself to that kind of thing. And so, for example, when we say somebody is the Yoda of something, what does that mean? It means that they are very good at what they do. They're wise and they're good in that particular field. Or if we say somebody is a ghost, that means either we don't see them anymore in our lives or maybe we've kind of boxed them out of our lives or something like that. Have you ever heard of the slang term yellow jacketed? That was one that I just heard recently. And the term is used by roadies in the music industry. A roadie is somebody who sets up the gear and makes sure that the sound is working, lights are working and whatnot. But roadies use it in the entertainment industry to describe somebody who has made a very unreasonable or demanding request. So they call that yellow jacketing when that happens. And it stems from an actual incident where one of the road crew for the band Guns N' Roses was charged with a particular task. They were playing a show somewhere on the mainland of Europe that evening. And the singer for Guns N' Roses, Axl Rose, refused to go on stage at the concert in the city where they were at until he got his favorite yellow leather jacket. Now, that doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Just go to the road case where that is at and grab it, right? Wrong. The yellow leather jacket was in London, England. And so one of the road crew was charged with that task, get on a plane and as quickly as possible, get back to London, find the yellow jacket and bring it back to Axel so that he could play the show that evening. The sad truth is we see this kind of celebrity demand all the time. This actor needs whatever before they can do their scene. This model refuses to go and do the shoot until everybody they don't like is cleared off of the beach. Or this musician refuses to play until the right flowers are put in their dressing room because it's filled right now with all of the wrong flowers. And those actions are actually a reflection of the mentality that says that I have a particular status and I am at a place in society where I am better than somebody, and so you ought to treat me differently than you treat the rest of society, and you ought to treat me better than you treat the rest of society. And what a difference that entitled mentality is from what we see in our text, in our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you want to talk about a special person doing a special job. It does not get more special than coming to earth to save everybody from their sins. It's right there. And yet, how does he come into the world? Complete and total humility, no special demands. In fact, he comes into this earth and is born in a manger, goes to live in some hick backwater town, lives a very common life. When he goes on his mission of his ministry, he doesn't even have a place to call his home. And he willingly dies so that the sins of all mankind would be paid for. And so in our text for Palm Sunday, he is actually riding into Jerusalem. And the irony here is that for once in his life, he's actually getting the rock star treatment. But what's going to happen in just a few days? He knows what these people who are shouting for him now are going to call for in just a few short days when they want him to die. And yet he willingly and humbly rides in to this mission of his to pay for the sins of the entire world, not demanding to be treated like the king of the world, which he actually is. And so because of his extreme humility, ever since Jesus has come into this world, the world has mistakenly identified him, or we've transferred our ideas of who he is onto him. And in the process, we've actually missed out on what makes him so special and what he actually wants to offer us. And so that's the call for you and me today. Not make the same mistake the crowds on the first Palm Sunday made. And when it comes to understanding Jesus and recognizing him, we need to understand what he's all about and who he really is and what's truly important about him and what he wants to do. So let's go to the outline here. First blanks. The people on the first Palm Sunday were mistaken about the true identity of Jesus. They were looking more for a worldly Messiah than the true Messiah. He was all about stuff that didn't fit their timetable or their agenda. And when that happened, when they realized this, they got angry at him. And they wanted to kill him because things weren't going according to their understanding of the plan. But when we don't understand the plan of God, this is actually a very, very good thing. Because when it comes to our salvation and being saved for eternity, we need a God who is beyond us, who is bigger than we are, bigger than our comprehension. See, if we have a God that we can fit into our neat little Jesus box, he's not big enough to do what we have to have him do to save us for eternity. You guys see this past week where they published the first known photograph of a black hole? How awesome was that? I mean, this is incredible. And this kind of advancement in technology is just wonderful. It's only taken humans several thousand of years to get to the point where we could develop this technology. But you know who's been seeing black holes since the time black holes existed? God. That's who he is. He's so far beyond us in what we can do. This is the God who wants to work for us and save us. And so this is what we need to do. Let this God that maybe we sometimes don't understand go about the work of his plan and run his ideas, which actually work and which actually save us. And so that's the king riding into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. But the crowds are confused because he is not like any king they have ever known or seen. And I love what Martin Luther said about this. And I included this quote from him talking about this aspect of Christ when he said, he is a strange king. You don't seek him, he seeks you. You don't find him, he finds you. You don't come to him, he comes to you. Other kings tax us and ask much of us, but he gives us everything he has. That's our God. So your next blanks, Christ came to release the world from the bondage of sin. He came to us with a humility that we can't truly comprehend. And so this is one of the challenges that the crowds had, one of the challenges that we have. See, we want Jesus to be some kind of superhero or something, right? We want him to be like Thor, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Luke Skywalker, and Batman all rolled up into one character. And he has all of that power. He just doesn't use it all the time. And when he doesn't use it, we get mad. They were sitting there going, hey, super Jesus, ride into Jerusalem, get rid of these Roman dogs and free Israel for all time. What did Jesus do when they asked him to do this? He went Jesus on them. This is what he does. He says, I'm not your circus monkey. I'm not here to do tricks for you. I am here to execute a plan that actually will work for your salvation. So let me do my thing and follow me in my lead, and this will all work out if I do this my way and you follow me. So your next blanks, because Jesus didn't fit into their idea of him, they got angry. Now here's the question for us. Do we make the same mistake? See, a lot of that time, we put Christ into that limited understanding and that finite way of operating. And then we get mad at him when he doesn't operate the way that we want him to work. But when we let Christ do his thing, it always works out best for you and me. And so we need to trust him. Guys that leave the right hand of God and come to earth to be crucified when they don't have to be, you can trust them. That's how much he loves us. He was willing to go through all of that for you and me. So we ought to trust him. His plan works out. So next blanks, Christ is a different looking Messiah than the one we would design. And that's a great thing. He came to bring us what we truly need. And that's why God had to draw up the plans for salvation and how this was all going to work. The real Jesus Christ is way better than anything we could invent. Why? Because the work of Jesus doesn't last for a few years while we're on earth, like some political term. It lasts forever. And without him, we don't have a chance when it comes to salvation. But with him, running the bigger plan, running everything according to his dad, we have it all. We are new people. And I love this story about that's told about the donkey, the young donkey that carried Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And he woke up the next day, and he was excited and still caught up in the afterglow of the most exciting day of his life. By the way, confirmants, what is the name of the donkey that carried, right there, Alyssa? Poncho Pilate. This class has actually named that donkey that rode into Jerusalem and carried Jesus on its back. This is just one of the many special things about these guys. They also have come up with some incredibly awesome other ideas for businesses. We're going to be billionaires when all this is finished, so this is great. But the donkey woke up on Palm Monday, if you will, and he was so stoked about what had happened that he thought, hey, I'm going to live in the afterglow of all this, and I'm going to head on into town, and I'm going to utilize some of this newfound status that I have. So he goes over to the group of people by the well, and he says, all right, here I am. I'm going to show myself to them. But they didn't notice him at all. They didn't pay any attention to him at all. And so after a while of this, he actually got mad. And he said, do you not know who I am? Throw down your coats. So according to the story, they looked at him in amazement, not just because it was a talking donkey, but because they were amazed that he was yelling at them. And one of them just said, get out of the way, donkey. So he muttered something under his breath and kept walking. He said, well, I'm going to go down to the market where the good people are. They will definitely remember me. Same thing happened there. As he walked down the main street of the market, nobody paid any attention to him. So he started shouting at him again in anger. Hey, palm branches. You guys were throwing palm branches yesterday. Where are those? Nothing. Same treatment. So he was hurt. He was confused. He was angry by all this. And he returned home to his mom and told her what had happened. And so she sidled up to him and said lovingly to him, child, don't you realize that without him, you are just an ordinary donkey? And that's a very humble story, but the greater point there is exactly right. Without Jesus Christ, we don't have it. We don't have the connection to the Father that we have to have. We don't have the forgiveness of sins that we need. We are not kings of the universe like we are when we are with him. But when we let him come and do his work with us and take us with him, everything is different. Everything is changed in our lives. His power is that powerful, and he makes you and me different people. And that's because of the humility that Christ was willing to show us to save us. That's how much he loves us. And that is a fact I just can't get over. What a wonderful Lord we have who would be willing to do all of that for us. So next blank, Christ came to do everything necessary for salvation for a people who by nature hate him. You know, I can't wrap my head around that. But Christ never says, hey, I want you to figure out the equation for this. He just says, here's how it happened. Here's what I've done. Now live in that. Receive the blessings that I give you and live in those blessings every single day. And when you do that, I also want you to go out into the world and represent me and share those gifts with the world and the people you come in contact with. So that is what he wants us to do. Recognize, realize, understand, and share everything that he is. Twice in the last year, I have seen what I consider to be the scariest signs posted on telephone and electrical poles around my neighborhood. There are signs that when I see them, I immediately get really nervous. And you know what the signs say? Lost pit bull. If found, please call, and then there's the number. If you know anything about pit bulls, you know that you don't find them. They find you. And a lot of times, if they find you, it doesn't end very well. And the reason that that actually scares me so much, it's kind of funny, because as I went home last night after preaching this sermon with this illustration, there are signs up right now, but they say Lost Pomeranian. I'm not so scared of that. The reason I am scared of pit bulls, though, is because when I was living in Seattle, there was a particular incident that happened. I came home from work one day, and I was super tired, so I decided to take a nap. I couldn't fall asleep because the neighbor's dog kept barking. Yeah, that was normal. Usually that went away after about 5 minutes or so. Well, not this time, and it kept going on and on. After about half an hour of this, I was really mad. After 45 minutes of this barking, I was super mad, and that's when there came a knock at the door. So I went to the door, angry as all get out, and who was standing there but a police officer. He wanted to know if he and some of his other police cohorts could use our backyard as a battle station to try and corral a lost pit bull that had gotten over the fence. And what had happened was the pit bull jumped the fence of the neighbor's yard and now was out at the apartment complex that we lived behind. And it was at the entrance, which was also the exit of the apartment building. And any time somebody tried to come out of the apartment building, it bared its fangs and charged them. So in essence, it had this whole apartment complex trapped in the building. And the police were there to try and catch this thing. Now, four dog catchers and three policemen later, they actually had the thing in custody. And the reason that it was so tough to catch this thing is because our neighbors were kind of these, you know, gangbanger wannabes, and they thought that it'd be cool to have a pit bull that they had trained to be aggressive and attack. And if you know anything about pit bulls, their jaws lock. Well, they had trained the dog to be aggressive and to lock down when it was aggressive, and so that's why it took so long to corral this dog. So after the dog was put into a van, I was chatting with the officer who'd first talked to me about all this, and he was commenting on how mad this kind of thing made him. Now, I was confused as to why, but he said the reason he was so mad is that he had had pit bulls as pets for his entire life. He said he had a couple at the time of this incident. He said they were the most gentle and docile animals that you could imagine. They made great pets. But he said in his line of work, he had seen people do this to them and train them up this way and make them aggressive and turn them into something they aren't. And he said this, and I've always remembered this. You only hear about the ones that are horrible, but this isn't the way the majority of them are. Because of a few bad ones, they as a whole have a terrible reputation. We are called to reflect Jesus Christ to the world, and to show the world the same things that Jesus Christ has shown to us. How do we as his people look to the world? And this is your next blank. How well do we represent him? And this is my question to you guys today, not just to the whole room, but specifically in light of what we're doing here. How are you going to represent this Christ, guys? How are you guys going to represent? I have high hopes for you guys, because the truth of the matter is the generations that have come before you have kind of screwed things up. But I have high hopes that you guys are going to represent this guy the right way, and that you are going to take him and his love and his humility and his peace and his grace out to the world in a new and unique way that will make the world perk up and follow him. And that's my prayer for you guys, that we would, not just as a confirmants, but all of us, properly represent this Jesus who has done everything for our eternal lives, that we would be the light in the world that needs it so much. So your last blank, God bless us to show the world the love, forgiveness, peace, patience, mercy, and humility that Christ has shown to us. God bless it to be so today, tomorrow, and every day of our lives. Amen.